Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Again, I hate that we're not at church, but I'm glad y'all are watching. It's an awesome day. I just pray that we're all staying well or getting well. We need to continue to pray for Sue, WD, Chastity, and all of Hubert's family. We also need to pray for the sick that we have in our church. We have some people who are battling some sickness, and also in our community and our nation. I just pray that we continue to pray for each one of those. Matter of fact, let me open this up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your presence, Lord. Just thank you for being here with us. Lord, I pray for our community. I pray for our church. I pray for our nation, Lord. I just pray for Hubert's family, Lord. Just be with Sue and WD, Chastity, the rest of the family, Lord. I just pray that you give them peace and comfort, Lord. I also pray for the ones in our church who are sick, who are not feeling well, Lord. I just pray that you place your healing hands upon them. Lord, I pray for this service, Lord. I pray that everything we do here honors and glorifies you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to discuss Jesus' baptism and how he is our perfect example. You see, this year, I want us to focus on living every day to become more like Jesus. So today, I want to look at the beginning of his perfect ministry on earth. And as we continue this year, if we're going to be more like Christ, we need to know who he truly is. And in order to discover who he is, I want to look at his words. I want to know who he says he is. You see, Jesus made 7 I am statements. And starting next Sunday and for the next few Sundays, we're going to closely examine his I am statements. But again, this morning, I want to focus on his baptism and the start of his ministry. And to do that, I'm going to start by reading some scripture. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this scripture, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son, Lord. Thank you for his ministry on earth. Lord, thank you for his sacrifice. Lord, I just pray that as I deliver this message, Lord, that your words flow through me. If not, that they flow in spite of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And again, this morning, I want to talk about our perfect example. I want to talk about our perfect example and how he's who we need to be following. But sometimes in our life, in our spiritual life, in our Christian life, in our ministry, we may be asked to do some things we're not comfortable with. Have you ever felt insecure? Have you ever felt like, hey, you weren't good enough to complete a task that you thought you may be being called to do? I know I've had that feeling. And John the Baptist must have felt very insecure when Jesus came to him for baptism. You see, even before Jesus came to him, John was doing some great things. He was preaching up a storm, and people were coming to the desert in droves just to hear him. He told people to repent, and they repented. He told people to confess, and they confessed. He told people to be baptized, and they submitted themselves to baptism. See, John the Baptist was Israel's first prophet in 400 years, and the people could hardly get enough of him. Then Jesus came for baptism, and John suddenly turned timid. Our scripture says John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" See, John had spoken with authority in his preaching, but when Jesus came to him to be baptized, John was faced with real authority. And John wasn't sure what to do. His instinct was to do nothing. You see, he wanted to stop the action. He wanted to hide. John said, "I can't baptize you, Jesus. Please don't ask me. I'm not worthy." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. What did that mean? I'm not sure that I fully understand, but I know this much. Jesus felt called to be baptized and came to John to obey that call. Remember, Jesus is our perfect example. Jesus didn't need much from John, but he did need John to baptize him. John knew how to do that. He'd been baptizing people by the dozens, by the hundreds. But when Jesus came for baptism, John suddenly balked. It wasn't because he had anything against Jesus. It's quite the contrary. John just didn't feel worthy to baptize Jesus. He had recognized from the beginning that Jesus was the Son of God. If I had been baptized and been in John's shoes, I would have felt unworthy too. If Jesus had come to me and asked to be baptized, I'd think, "You've got to be kidding me." Like John, I would say, "You need to baptize me. I need you." But Jesus needed John to be faithful to the calling so that Jesus could be faithful to Jesus' calling. He didn't need John to be perfect. He didn't need John to be better than John was. Jesus didn't need John to do anything other than be faithful. Jesus needed John to baptize him. Listen once again to Jesus' words. "This is the proper way for us to fulfill all righteousness." Did you hear that word? Jesus didn't say it's proper for me. He said it is proper for us. In other words, Jesus saw John as his partner in ministry. Jesus knew it was important for him to do what the Father had called him to do, to be baptized. But he needed John to be faithful too, so that he could be baptized. It is important for Jesus to come to John to be baptized, but it's also important for John to put aside his questions so that he could baptize Jesus. You see, John was obedient. Matthew doesn't describe the baptism itself, but Matthew does describe the results. "And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased.'" Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be wonderful to do a small service for God and to see the heavens open up, and to hear God's voice of approval? That didn't happen because John was great. It happened because John was faithful. John did what God had called him to do, and God took it from there. There's a message in this for us. God has called us to do His work and to be His people. He's called some of us to preach. He's called some of us to go into the mission fields. He's called some of us to sing in the choir. And He's called others of us to be administrators. And He's called others of us to teach. There's one constant in all of that. That constant is this. God has called us to be faithful to the calling that He has given us. Whether that calling be great or small, whether we feel like it or not, whether we feel worthy or not, whether we have time or not, if we are faithful to the calling to which we have been given, great things will happen. We might see them immediately, and we might not, but they will happen. We might see the heavens open up, and we might not, but good things will happen. We might hear the voice of God, and we might not. But we can be assured that God will take our small efforts and turn them into huge blessings. By the grace of God, if we are faithful, great things will happen. They might happen immediately, or they might happen two generations later. They might happen during our lifetime, or they might happen a decade after we're gone. But by the grace of God, if we are faithful to the calling to which He has called us upon, great things will happen. Please make a conscious effort to remember this point. If we are faithful to God's calling on our lives, He will ensure that great things happen. Let me repeat that. If we are faithful to God's calling on our lives, He will ensure that great things will happen. That will be true whether our calling is something small or something great. If we're faithful, God will take care of the rest. If we're faithful, God will take care of the rest. We have to remember that we're acting by God's power, not ours. We're acting in God's time, not ours. You see, God will help us to lift our eyes from the dirt at our feet that we might be able to see the trees and the skies above us. That's what God wants. God wants us to believe, to hope, to celebrate. God wants us to be filled with joy. You might ask, how can we be filled with joyful? How can we be joyful right now? I've seen the newspaper. I know there's things going on. I know there's things happening. We have people hurting. I know. But I'm expecting some great things. If we're obedient, God will ensure that great things will happen. You see, when David acted on faith, he was able to slay Goliath. When Gideon acted on faith, he was able to defeat a whole army. When Jesus was faithful, he died on a cross. But he was raised 3 days later to save us from our sins. When Paul and Silas were faithful, they were arrested for preaching the gospel. But they didn't stop. They didn't just stop and mope around. Paul and Silas kept preaching. They kept singing. An earthquake happened. And they were freed from their cells. You see, the Bible is full of these stories of His servants. You see, God is in charge and God will win. That's the promise of Scripture. And we're all on God's team. Each of us is important to the victory. Whether God's call on us is to throw the touchdown pass or be the water boy, we're part of His team. All we need to do is to be faithful to the call in which He's given us. God will take care of the rest. John was faithful. And he saw the heavens open up, and he heard the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Let us listen for the calling, and let us be obedient. You see, Christ is our perfect example of an obedient servant leader. He came and fulfilled Scripture. When we are obedient to His call, He will give us all we need. Don't be afraid if God calls you to do something great. And don't be ashamed if God calls you to do something small. Just be faithful. Prepare to see the heaven open up and God's voice saying, well done. Are you being obedient to His call in your life? Are you ready to follow Jesus' perfect example? Those are the questions I want to leave you with this morning. Are you being obedient to His call in your life? And are you ready to follow Jesus' perfect example? If you're ready to follow that perfect example, you've never made that decision this morning, I would love to pray with you. Please reach out to me. You can call me. My number is 865-368-4186. Send me a Facebook message. I would love to pray with you. If you think Jesus has a certain call on your life, and you're ready to accept that call, and you're ready to be obedient, I would love to pray with you about that. See, just remember that I love you, and God loves us more than we can even imagine. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son. Thank you for His obedience, Lord, that through fulfilling Scripture, fulfilling the call, He was able to save us from our sins, Lord. Thank you for John the Baptist. Thank you for sending him to be obedient, Lord. Thank you for placing that call on his life and him being obedient to the call. Lord, I just pray for each person here that's listening or watching or is going to watch later, Lord, that the call that you've placed on their lives, Lord, that they are obedient. Again, when we take the call you've given us and we're obedient, you can do great things. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And again, thank you for your perfect example. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you for joining in. I look forward to hearing from you as the week goes on. Keep praying for our church, our community, and our nation. And I'll see you soon.